English, and she will talk about effect of poor health literacy on eye examination behavior.
Well, good afternoon. And actually, in addition to talking about the effect of poor health literacy on eye examination behavior, I'm going to talk about its effect on other variables as well. I also do not have any personal financial relationships to disclose. So I wanted to just start out with the definition of health literacy. It's the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic health information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions. Now, there have been studies, you know, in the literature that poor health literacy is associated with poorer health outcomes, less frequent screening, less medication compliance, and poorer patient-physician communication. There are really two broad categories of health literacy tests. There are word recognition tests, where people are asked to pronounce a list of words, and then reading comprehension tests. And so one of the widely used word recognition tests in the clinical setting is the RELM test, the Rapid Estimate of Adult Literacy in Medicine. And I should mention that these word recognition tests have been shown to be predictors of general reading ability. And then a commonly used reading comprehension test is the TOEFL, the Test of Functional Health Literacy in Adults. And both these tests have short versions as well as the long version. So I wanted to just give you a little bit of an overview of the study, which the data that I'm going to be presenting today comes from. So this was an NEI-funded randomized clinical trial designed to compare the effects of tailored and targeted newsletters to increase eye examination behavior. And we targeted African Americans 65 years and older, primarily because that's a group that's at increased risk for glaucoma. And another eligibility requirement was that the participants did not have a dilated eye exam in the past 2 years. And our primary outcome variable was the doctor-confirmed DFE at 6 months. So we recruited our participants from community sites, and at enrollment, we, of course, obtained informed consent. We had an interviewer-administered questionnaire to collect some baseline data, and we used the RELM-R, the short version of the RELM test, the word recognition test, as a quick tool to assess health literacy. And I'll go into that in a little bit more detail in a few more slides. The participants were randomized to receive either a tailored or targeted newsletter, and we had telephone follow-up at 1, 3, and 6 months to ascertain their eye examination behavior, whether they had had an eye exam, a dilated eye exam. And in terms of the confirmation, so all self-reported DFEs at the follow-ups were confirmed by contacting the participant's eye doctor by phone. And at the six-month follow-up, if the participant reported that they had made an appointment, we also followed up with that to see if they actually followed through and kept the appointment. And so for participants who withdrew before we could follow them or that could not be contacted, we considered them as not having had a DFE. Okay, the RELM-R. So that's the short form. So I should mention that the RELM actually is a 66 word list that participants are asked to pronounce. The RELM R is obviously much shorter. There's three words that we ask the participants to say just kind of to get them familiar and comfortable with the test, and then we ask them to pronounce the eight words. And so in addition, so one of the reasons why we chose the RELM-R was because we wanted something quick. But another reason was that I was a little bit concerned, and, you know, on the 66 lists, 66 words on the RELM-R, there were several words that I thought that this older population might feel uncomfortable having to say out loud. And you know, I tried to, there really wasn't anything in the literature about that, but just my gut feeling was that it wouldn't work in our population, so we used the short version. And I guess I should mention that at the time that we were doing the study, the Realm-R was the only short version of the Realm, but in recent years there's actually another short version, and there's actually some disease-specific versions where the words that they're asking the participants to say are related to specific topics. So I think there's like an adolescent one, and there are one or two others that are specific to different diseases. So with the health, in order to score this, one point was given for each of the 8 test words that were pronounced correctly, and scores between 0 and 6 were considered poor health literacy, and scores between 7 and 8 were considered adequate health literacy, and that's based on this paper by Bass that sort of first described this this Realm R. With the from the baseline questionnaire, we obviously collected information about demographics. We collected information about knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs about dilated fundus exams, about glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy. We asked questions about barriers and benefits to getting dilated exams. We had a section about other preventive health care that the people engaged in, and we had a section about patient-physician communication. So to assess glaucoma knowledge, we actually adapted these questions from the NEI IQ test for glaucoma, which I think maybe NEHEP was, part of NEHEP that they created. So you can see the 7 questions. They were awarded 1 point for each correct answer, and if they answered not sure, we consider that as incorrect. So some of the things we asked, glaucoma is more common among blacks than whites. A person can have glaucoma and not know it. Glaucoma tends to run in families, so as you get older, you're more likely to get glaucoma. So some basic knowledge questions. And likewise, for diabetic eye disease knowledge, we adapted that from the NEI IQ test for diabetic eye disease and scored it the same way. And then we created a general eye disease knowledge score. There were 4 questions, and we awarded 1 point for each correct answer. So if the person had ever heard of a dilated eye exam before their entry into the study, before the question, the interview, they got 1 point. We asked them if they disagreed or strongly disagreed with the statement, "I don't need a dilated eye exam if I have my eyes checked for glasses," they got 1 point. If they disagreed or strongly disagreed with the statement, "Having trouble seeing even with my glasses is a normal part of getting older," they got 1 point. And then we asked them how often they thought they should get a dilated eye exam, and so we awarded them 1 point if they said at least once a year or at least once every 2 years. And some of the questions about misconceptions were actually we had conducted focus groups prior to the study, and some of these issues were brought up in the focus groups. We asked them about barriers to getting eye exams, and again, some of these barriers were mentioned in our focus groups, and some of it was in the literature. And just for convenience, we categorized them into cost barriers, logistical barriers, and just general barriers. And we counted the total number of barriers a person reported. We also asked about behavioral intention to get a dilated fundus exam. And this was based, these stages are based on the trans-theoretical model and the precaution adoption process model. And so we had 5 stages, people who had never thought about getting a DFE, those that had decided not to get one, those that were still deciding, and those first three, if you know about the trans-theoretical model, those first three could be considered the pre-contemplation phase stage. People that were planning on getting a DFE in the next 6 months, which is comparable to the contemplation stage in the TTM, and then those who are planning on getting a DFE in the next month, which is the preparation stage. And then in terms of the patient-physician communication, one of the things we asked about was their preference for making medical decisions, whether, you know, there's a big push about, you know, shared decision-making with the physician. And so we asked them if they prefer making decisions themselves, sharing the decision with the doctor, or leaving the decision up to the doctor. And this was just medical decisions in general. This wasn't really eye specific. Okay, so that's the sort of a description of the study. Now we'll get into some of the study results. So 329 people were enrolled for this study. One person had a severe speech impediment and really couldn't pronounce the words and didn't have a literacy score. So for this presentation, they were excluded from the analysis. So 70% were female, 43% had less than a high school education, 77% had an annual income less than $20,000. And again, remember, this is an African American, 65 and older, that lives in Baltimore City. So in terms of health literacy score, so 63% of our population were categorized as having poor health literacy. That's actually a little bit on the high side. I mean, the health literacy rates in the literature do vary. There were two studies specifically with glaucoma patients that found that about half their population have poor health literacy. And then in the 2003 National Assessment of Adult Literacy, in just the 65 and older group, they reported that 29% had below basic health literacy. Now, again, keep in mind people use different measures, different health literacy measures or whatever, but 63%, I mean, we expected to have, at least 50%, but we were a little surprised at how high that group was. In terms of looking at demographic variables by health literacy score, well, I guess I should just mention that we used chi-square test or Fisher's exact test if the cell sizes were small to compare these variables by health literacy status. So you can see from this table that gender, there was a statistically significant association between health literacy and gender, education, and income. Males were more likely to have a poor health literacy, and then people with, obviously you would assume a lower, less than a high school education, those with less income were also a higher proportion of them had poor health literacy, and the association between health literacy and education and income have been reported in the literature. Gender, some studies yes, some studies no. In terms of the association between health literacy status and the doctor's confirmed DFE, again, we found a significant association. And so among the participants with the poor health literacy, a third had a doctor-confirmed DFE, compared with about 50% of the people with adequate health literacy. When we looked at health literacy status by the behavioral intention, again, there was a statistically significant association. If you kind of look at it, the two stages where there seems to be a difference is in the still deciding group and the planning, the planning in 6 months. So among those still deciding, 21% were 21% of the people with poor health literacy reported that they were still deciding about whether they should get a DFE. And I should remind you, this is at baseline before we administered the intervention. And with only 11% still deciding in the adequate group. And then for the planning in the 6 months, 33% of those in adequate health literacy said they were planning to get a DFE in the next 6 months, compared to only 20% in the poor health literacy group. In terms of medical decision making, so you could see that the preference for shared decision making was about the same for both groups, but a larger proportion of those with poor health literacy preferred that the doctor make the decision for them. Yeah. And And obviously a lower proportion wanted to make that decision themselves compared to those with adequate health literacy. In terms of knowledge scores, and I guess with the knowledge scores, we use the Wilcoxon rank sum test to compare the scores between the groups. So we didn't find an association between glaucoma knowledge scores or diabetic eye disease scores, and we even looked at the diabetic eye disease scores, for the whole group, and then looking at the diabetics and the non-diabetics, and even the diabetics didn't really have any greater knowledge about diabetic eye disease. We did find a difference in general eye knowledge scores. Those with adequate health literacy had a higher score, knowledge score. And then in terms of barriers, those with poor health literacy reported more barriers to getting DFEs than those with adequate health literacy. So to summarize, I mean, compared to older African Americans with adequate health literacy, older African Americans with poor health literacy were less likely to get a dilated fundus exam, were more likely to prefer a doctor make the medical decisions, and less likely to want to make the decisions themselves, had lower knowledge about general eye health, and reported more barriers to getting dilated fundus exams. And this study also demonstrates that a short word recognition test can be used to screen for health literacy, especially if your time and resources are limited. So I just want to acknowledge the funding source, the co-investigators, and the project staff who helped with the study. So I guess we have plenty of time for questions for me or the Well, we actually explained what it was. We didn't just, we actually said when the doctor puts the drops in your eyes and you have, your eyes are blurry for a while and you're sensitive to the sun. So we did explain to them what it was. Yeah, because you're right. They wouldn't, if you said dilated eye exam, they wouldn't. They wouldn't be able to differentiate between, a screening exam, like when they go. That's why we asked them about going in and getting your eyes examined for glasses versus a dilated eye exam. And that's another reason why we confirmed it with the doctor. So there were some people that reported that they had a dilated exam, yet the doctor couldn't. They had come in, but the doctor couldn't confirm that it was dilated.
Mm-hmm. However, when you're asking people about they're participating in a study for eye disease, this is a population that you're trying to please.
And if you look at the percentage that say they're planning, in the preparation stage, it's much higher than you would normally expect. So you're right about that.
Okay. Any more questions to any speakers? We have a lot of time. No? Thank you so much for coming. I'm going to share it. We have a lot of choices, so thank you so much.